Good morning. This morning I'm going to be sharing a message that's a little bit different than what we normally share here at Solid Rock Worship Center. But I felt that after I had many people come to me with questions about the Jesus Tomb movie or the Jesus Tomb documentary that was on the Discovery Channel, that I needed to respond to some of those claims. It's interesting how, as you watch a documentary like that, they make it appear as if Christians have no answers, as if Jesus is not able to respond to the questions of the day. The science have proven the Bible wrong, and archaeology, one more time, has a step up on the Bible. That is simply not true. This morning I want to share with you the problems that I had with this documentary. The problem is really this: in order to believe their conclusion, you have to accept assumption after assumption after assumption after assumption after assumption. Literally, as I watched this show and took notes, I came up with 33 or 34 assumptions that you have to assume in order to come to their response. 34 things, at least, that I came up with, that you have to agree with them and just say, okay, perhaps this is possible. And literally all of those things have to be possible in order to come to their conclusion. Well, what exactly am I talking about? Well, this Lost Tomb of Jesus show premiered on March 4th. It drew more than 4 million viewers. 4 million viewers tuned in. And guess what? They have a companion book that goes with that, the Jesus Family Tomb. The records that I had here was that it rocketed to sixth place on the New York Times bestseller list. For the nonfiction bestseller list, it rocketed up to sixth place. Let me tell you, they made some money in producing this documentary and this book. In fact, another documentary was made in 1996, 11 years ago, on the same tomb. This isn't new evidence that they discovered with the ossuary named Jesus. Well, if you don't know exactly what this documentary was, if you weren't able to see it, let me bring you up to date here. They found a tomb outside of Jerusalem with 10 ossuaries, or 10 small casket-like boxes that held bones. And the big thing is about the names that are on the ossuaries. Four of them were blank. Four of them were blank. One of them said Judah, son of Jesus. One said Matthew. One said Yose, or Joseph. Another said Maria. And the ones in dispute is the one that said Yeshua bar Yosef. That would be Jesus, son of Joseph, and Mariamne, the master. Now, it's interesting, too, that they have found over 900 tombs within this 2.5-mile radius of Jerusalem's old city. Over 900 tombs. So to find a tomb is not rare at all. In fact, how many ossuaries have they found? Thousands of ossuaries have been found. Thousands. So again, to find 10 is not that grand of a thing. It's interesting to note, pardon me, that only 20% of them had names on them. Generally speaking, only 20% had names. And you may question, well, why? Actually, when they wrote the names on the ossuaries, the names were not written so that generations down the road can come back and find bodies and make an analysis of who was who. You see, today when we write tombstones, we'll have, here lies so-and-so, born on this date, died on this date, with maybe even a picture of them on the tomb. That was not the point of the ossuary. In fact, they would pencil the name on a few of them. So as they walked into the tomb, they would have an idea of who was where. It was not so we could make a definitive identification thousands of years later. That was not the point of the ossuary. Nonetheless, as I move on, we need to look at the assumptions that you have to make. Again, their point of view is that Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died. He did not raise again. This is his body that was buried in this tomb. It was marked Jesus, son of Joseph. They placed his body in this tomb. They must have, right? Because they found a box that says Jesus, son of Joseph. And in the tomb, again, they found Mary, who they say this must have been his mom. And in the tomb, they found Joseph, who was must have been Jesus' brother. And they found Mary Magdalene, as they called it. The Mariamne must have been Mary Magdalene in this tomb. Therefore, Jesus and Mary Magdalene must have been married, and they must have had a child. That child would have been Judas, or Judah, as the ossuary said, Judah, son of Joseph. Well, in order to believe this true, let's look now at just a few of the assumptions. Again, I'm not going to go through all 34 this morning. In fact, I'm probably going to go just highlight about 10. And they are going to be on the internet as well. If you go to www.srworship.org, you will find my notes on the internet that you can go and look this up later. Again, I just want to remind you that my notes are exactly what they are. They are notes. But it's full of quotes and internet links, so you can look up whatever you would want. Hopefully it could just be a blessing to you. If you just wanted to look a little bit closer towards some of my thoughts and how I came to my conclusions. Assumption number one. The first assumption you have to make in order to believe any of this is that Matthew was lying. Who is Matthew? Matthew is the guy who wrote the first gospel, the first book of the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, Matthew stated that the Pharisees circulated the story that the disciples stole the body. He says the Pharisees came up with it. They heard that Jesus rose from the dead, the body was missing, and in order to stop people from believing in this Messiah, they came up with this story. In fact, they paid off the guards. Go and say the disciples stole the story. They said, well, in order to believe any of this, you have to believe that Matthew was flat out lying. That Matthew knew that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And yet, he continued to tell everybody that he did. Matthew knew that Jesus did not rise. The writers of the documentary say perhaps the disciples really did steal the body. Why would they steal the body? They say in order to give Jesus a proper burial. If that was true, there would be no reason to even talk about this resurrection, would there? They would have just buried Jesus just like they buried everybody else. Again, we look with 2007 eyes at the past and we say that this was the founder of the world's largest religious system. This is Jesus. It must have been a conspiracy. Well, I want to tell you back then, this was their friend. Jesus was their friend, their teacher, their master. They had no intentions of starting a new religious system. They would have buried their friend. And they would have taken flowers to him or whatever. They would have treated him with respect. They would not have began a lie. But conspiracy sells, doesn't it? Thus, this book. Thus, this documentary. Another assumption they go into, who attended Jesus' burial ceremony? It's kind of a weird thought, right? But they list who actually showed up at Jesus' burial ceremony. It must have been Mary Magdalene. It must have been Peter. It must have been Matthew. It must have been his mom. Well, we don't really know, do we? In fact, the burial ceremony they're speaking of is a year after his death on the cross, because they would have buried the body. And then a year later, when they came back, after the body decayed and there was nothing but bones left, they would have scraped those bones into the ossuary and marked it Jesus, son of Joseph. I just thought it was interesting that they actually listed who showed up. Amos Kloner, the one who worked on the tomb back in 1980, Again, as a side note, this tomb was discovered in 1980 with these ossuaries in there. They found the ossuaries, they put them in a box, or put them in a warehouse, and they didn't really think too much of it. Again, the writers of the documentary yell conspiracy. As we will see, it isn't conspiracy at all. He says among his many objections to this whole thing is that the names Jesus and Mary were common names. If Jesus was poor and from Nazareth, why would he even have a family tomb in Jerusalem? That's interesting. Jesus had ties in Bethlehem. He had ties in Nazareth. Why would he be in the city of Jerusalem to be buried? And again, why would he be buried in a tomb that was set aside for wealthy people? Wealthy people who had contacts with Greek culture. It doesn't make any sense. His family members would have been buried in Bethlehem or in Nazareth. This assumption that Jesus was buried there is a tough one to swallow. Another assumption we're going to look at, that this ossuary that they found was one of a kind. That as they discovered Jesus, son of Joseph, oh my, look, it's amazing. We've never found this before. Check this out. It's interesting that as you watch the documentary, again, it's more of a docudrama that was part of the problem with this. There aren't theories that are laid out. In fact, they actually film people acting out whatever they talk about. In the drama, they show at exactly 9 minutes into it, there's an archaeologist. They find this ossuary. It says, Jesus, son of Joseph. And the guy is amazed. The guy is amazed. His face just lights up. His jaw drops. He found Jesus, son of Joseph. And at the same time, the narrator says, when it was found, the archaeologists weren't too excited about it. They weren't too excited about it. Again, if you watch this and you see the contrast, the archaeologist in the drama, and in real life, the narrator has to admit they weren't too excited about it. Why not? Because they have found 3 or 4 ossuaries marked Jesus, son of Joseph. Did you hear me this morning? We have 3 or 4 ossuaries marked Jesus, son of Joseph. 3 or 4 of them. If you walk into the museum and you say, I'd love to see the ossuary marked Jesus, son of Joseph, the question would be, which one? Again, was it rare? No, it wasn't rare, but that's an assumption you have to make in order to believe this. Stephen Fahn, the president of Jerusalem's University of the Holy Land, has looked at this box and he says, you know what, I don't think it says Jesus at all. He says, I think it says Hunan or something else after he viewed this high-resolution image of this ossuary in question. He's not surprised that it says Jesus. I mean, he's not sure that it said Jesus at all. It's an interesting thing. We're going to talk a little bit more about Stephen Fahn a little bit later. Again, the links to all of his stuff is on my notes as well that you can download off of the Internet. Another thing with this ossuary, one of a kind, if they found Jesus, son of Joseph. Well, if this was really Jesus, first of all, if the disciples buried Jesus, would they have called him the son of Joseph? Think about that. Would they have even wrote that on there? I must tell you, in my thinking, I think they wouldn't have said Jesus, son of Joseph. I think they would have said Jesus, son of God. I think they would have said Jesus, the Messiah. I think perhaps they would have said Jesus, son of man, referring to his messianic title. They would not have said Jesus, son of Joseph. Perhaps they would have said Jesus, the Lord. They would not have said Jesus, son of Joseph. Another assumption they make. There's a conspiracy to ignore the ossuaries. Again, Jesus, son of Joseph, was written for 3 or 4 times. In the documentary, a professor named John Croson from DePaul University, he makes this comment. He says his faith would not be shaken if the bones proved to be Jesus. He says, I leave what happens to bodies up to God. Side note, How many bones do you think they found in that tomb? Ready? Zero. Zero. They didn't find any, well, there aren't any bones, rather, in that ossuary today. When they discovered the tomb in 1980, there were bones. In fact, the tomb was broken into, there were some skeletons on the floor. They found bones. According to Jewish Orthodox tradition, they took those bones that they found and they buried them outside of the city. You can find this again. All of this information is online. They buried it according to their customs with a rabbi with respect to what was left of the bodies. This is what they did. They did this all the time. Interesting that people speak of the bones of Jesus. Well, there aren't any bones in this tomb. There aren't any bones. There's empty boxes. Again, they tried to do DNA tests by wiping the boxes, but there were no bones in these boxes. Nonetheless, this guy, John Cresson, says his faith wouldn't be shaken. Even if they had bones and they proved to be Jesus's, he says, I leave what happens to bodies up to God. Sounds good, right? Well, no, I wouldn't agree with that statement anyway. But he says that. The next assumption the writers of this documentary make is, it seems that Christians can accept the possibility that the remains of Jesus were transferred to a family tomb. Think about that. It seems that Christians can accept that possibility that his remains were transferred to a family tomb. Can I tell you this morning, Christians cannot accept the possibility that the remains of Jesus were transferred to a family tomb. In fact, the assumption that it seems as Christians can accept is just foolish, and it doesn't even line up with any church on the planet who's a Bible-believing church, who believes in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you're Catholic, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Episcopalian, Nazarene, it doesn't line up with anybody's beliefs. It's just not true, and we cannot believe that. Why can we not believe this? The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, first of all, says if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in this world. He said, if Christ isn't raised, our faith is useless, and people ought to pity us more than anybody else because we believe this lie. Listen, Paul believed in a physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul believed in it. There was no doubt in his mind. Interesting that as you watch the documentary, they lead you to believe that Paul actually had no problems with the idea of Jesus' body being there. Well, that's nowhere in Scripture at all. In fact, in 1 Peter 3, we can see Peter also believed in a physical resurrection. 1 Peter 3:21, he talks about water baptism. He says that water is a picture of baptism which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clear conscience. Why is that important? He says this is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is why we can be forgiven of our sins and have a right relationship with God. This assumption that Christians can accept that possibility is foolish. And as they try to lead you believe that Peter was fine with that. In fact, they said Peter was at the funeral. Peter helped carry the body of Jesus. That's foolish. Because that would have surprised Peter. He don't even remember being there, apparently. That Paul had no problems with the body being in the tomb. That's foolish. That's foolish. Paul said if his body was still there, piteous. Piteous. Another assumption. They say this. In fact, those who take the strictly historical approach to the Gospels would expect to find Jesus' remains in the family tomb. Those who take the strictly historical approach would expect to find his bones in the family tomb. First of all, what? What are you talking about? And how exactly do you go from it seems in theory that Christians can accept that possibility to man, you would just expect to find his bones in the tomb. If you would take the historical approach to the Gospels, listen to me. As we look at the book of Matthew, let's go into history. Let's see what Matthew says about it. Matthew says, clearly, the angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was laying." Matthew 25, 5 and 6. Listen, the angel said, "Come and see where his body was laying." His body was not there. Matthew's historical approach was for a physical resurrection of Jesus. Let's look at Mark's. Mark's historical approach. It says clearly that the body of Jesus was not there. Mary rushed back to tell the disciples. They didn't believe then. Later on, Jesus appears. And it says when he finished talking with them, he was taken up to heaven and seated at the right hand of God. Matthew 16:20, then the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. The disciples went and preached the physical resurrection of Jesus because they saw it, and they saw Jesus and his physical body go to heaven. What does Luke say? Luke says the very same thing. Luke 24, they went in, they didn't find the body of Jesus. They went in, they didn't find the body of Jesus. 24:4, they stood there puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared to them. The women were terrified, bowed their head. The men asked, "Why are you looking for the dead?" "For someone who is alive. He isn't here. He rose from the dead." In fact, the women went back and told Peter. Peter showed up. Luke 24:11, it says, the story sounded like nonsense to the men. They didn't believe it. They said Jesus' body was there. He couldn't have risen from the dead. "You say you saw angels. We don't believe you." They went back to the tomb. Verse 12, Peter jumped up, ran to the tomb to look. Stopping, he peered in and saw the empty linens. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. And Jesus appears to them later on. In verse 36, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you." The whole group was startled and frightened. They thought they saw a ghost. "Why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt?" Jesus said, "Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me and make sure I am not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do." Jesus showed up. Luke recorded clearly Jesus had a physical body. In fact, they were able to touch Jesus and see. What does John say, the other gospel writer? He says the same thing. They have come. They have come to the tomb. The body wasn't there. Peter and John 25, Peter stooped in, looked in, and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Rather, John did, and it says, Peter went in, he saw the linen wrappings there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. There wasn't a body. There wasn't a body. Those who accept the historical approach to the gospel, the strictly historical approach, would believe in a physical resurrection of Jesus. And even Thomas, in the book of John, chapter 20, Thomas was able to touch Jesus, put his hands on his wounds, feel his body. An interesting thing in the book of John, we see that Jesus even ate with his disciples. In fact, in John 21, he cooked breakfast and ate with them. In the book of Acts, a physical resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Book of Acts chapter 1. All four Gospels wrote about the history of what had happened. All four clearly speak of a physical resurrection. To say that it's a fact that those who take a strictly historical approach to the Gospels would expect to find Jesus and his remains in a family tomb is an outright lie. Those who took the real historical approach, which would be the disciples, would have been beyond surprised to get an invitation to Jesus' ceremony. Do you hear me this morning? Those who really took the historical approach, the disciples, they would have been shocked if they got a card in the mail saying, please come back, we're going to have Jesus' burial ceremony this Saturday at 2 o'clock. You're invited. We'll have a reception following. Are you kidding me? That's not true.